Hey everybody, welcome to the season 4 first turn recap. We're gonna try this time.
Did how far did we make it in season three?
Don't talk about it.
Did we even get a turnout?
Don't talk about it.
I remember.
Anyway, I'm Cyrocast.
I'm Dozer. We're back, baby.
We're back, I think.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
Let's try at least.
Season 4 finally started, and that's awesome. So now we can talk about season 4 stuff, even though
Yeah.
we already talked about some season 4 stuff
Well, kind of.
in the
We had
recap.
a season three recap and then talked about some season four things, but a lot of things happened between then and now.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of rule changes, actually.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, a game,
Everybody
big changes.
likes rules.
Because I don't think at the end of the season three recap that either of the two big votes were finished.
What were those votes again?
The upper tier slot and Sig tier system.
Nope. Upper tier slot was definitely done.
All right. Okay.
Because that was when we were playing Survivor.
Oh, that's right. STC Survivor.
STC's Game of Survivor.
Probably one of the best chats in the Gateway to the Mods post from Syracuse. Upper tier slot is gone. STC is kill. That is all. Oh, poor STC. He
No
will
one's ever
haunt
said
us no more.
Anyway, other things though. We did not, so upper tier, we know was not passed at
Yeah,
that.
that was the upper tier was going away, and the screams of rejoice were resonating.
Yeah, but the Sig tier did pass, which is pretty cool. For those of you who don't know what the Sig tier is, each team was given the opportunity to choose a tier of their choosing that they will be playing in until turn 6.
Yeah,
And they did.
and they had four choices to choose from, and it was OU, UU, RU, and NU. Ubers and
VGC or Little Cup.
DGC, Little Cup, PU, were not allowed to be Sig tiers because of their uniqueness and the limited pool options that they have.
I.e., we don't like them.
Well, it's not so much that, it's that there were like some types that had nothing in there, and there were a lot of types that had nothing. And like PU was basically just the scraps of NU with a bunch of other NFEs random and scattered about. But A, to each their own.
What are you gonna do
What you gonna do? You can
when they come?
still like you can still challenge someone to a PU match if you wanted to.
Yeah, like you can still, we still have the whole you can challenge to whatever. It's just, which I
And
think is kind of redundant to a point, because, they're already in that.
yeah, well, it's different because basically it's a sort of bypass to Sig tiers. Say the Sig tier is like there's a neutral Sig tier for overlapping matches because we got a question about this in the Gateway to the Mods sub, where someone was wondering why if both teams that were in an overlapping attack had the same Sig tier, why they had to use this neutral tier, which is UU, for the first few turns. And basically the response for that is because
Because we said show, because we said show. So yeah,
it
shut up.
was the only real actual solution to that was to use the neutral tier. But the thing is, if both teams don't want to play in UU, or people from each teams, you can challenge each other in OU.
Yeah, like that's completely fine.
Or if you wanted to, you could challenge in anything, really. There's are some things that you can't do, but they're very few and far between, and it's things like inverse battles, a no-no.
Oh, but why not?
I mean, it's weird because inverse battle was a technical no-no, but Lodart and I last season had a metronome battle.
Because that's so much more balanced.
I totally won that with a choice specs water spout from a Plusle. It was beautiful.
You're a terrible person, you know that?
I am, but I love it. Either way, so that's the thing, and that kind of, I think that gives Signature System a little bit more leeway than we had before. Because everyone's already battling and preparing things in different tiers as it is, it'd be pretty easy to bump up or down a tier, mm-hmm. I'd imagine. Especially later in the season as people have built more teams and et cetera, et cetera. But, do we want to go over what each team chose as their Sig tier?
Yeah, so no one chose Aryu because apparently they got that all out of their system with grunt matches.
From seasons 1 through 3, where it was basically RU plus a UU for most of everything.
Yeah, so Aqua chose OU, Dim Sung chose NU, Igneous chose OU, Snagum chose NU, and Solar Trinity chose OU. So
3 OUs and 2 NUs, and then the neutral tier is UU.
UU. So there will be no RU games unless you specifically say you want to play an RU.
At least in the first rounds, the early game, because at break phase, teams can change their Sig tier for no cost.
Which is pretty good.
Mainly because that's the same time where you can change types. So it'd be kind of unfair to lock someone into a tier when their types change, because your tier is going to vary based on what types you have. Mm-hmm. The neutral Sig tier is just always going to change because that's just us going to a random number generator and pressing buttons.
Mm-hmm. You know, just whatever thing that all neutrals do. It's our way of life.
Mm-hmm. I was kind of surprised to see just how polar the Sig tiers were. Mm-hmm. You're either OU or NU. You're either the highest tier that you can play in or the lowest tier that you can play in.
Or you both are playing the same thing and you're now in the middle tier.
It's going to be really interesting when we see more teams attacking each other. Because the only attack that we've seen, and yeah, we actually got an attack on turn one that wasn't a neutral overlap.
Well, didn't we have three?
Well, there were four battles, but there was one actual attacking a location.
Instead
of just a neutral territory skirmish. Which are different. You know, overlap battles are different from actual attacking in a huge way because of the token cost. Mm-hmm. So, do we want to just, like, jump right? Wait, do we have a replay for this week? I'm just wondering.
No. Unfortunately, replays of the week will not be coming in
for
the first few phases because we're still catching up to stuff again.
Oh, yeah, no one submitted replays is the problem.
Yeah, you guys, so there's an awesome button. It's yellow, or if you're blind like Dozer, it's some other color.
Colorblind. Yellow. Not blind, just colorblind.
Still doesn't mean you're not racist.
Wait. Well,
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
No. I mean, I'm not racist, but I'm from North Dakota, so it's kind of the same thing.
Anyway. So there's this great little button right below PM Mod Chat. You can also hit that too for laughs, but it's
submit a replay.
And all you got to do is send us a link with a battle from a location battle. We do love to see random battles sometimes, but we won't feature them on the show.
Mm-hmm. And a big thing that I'd like to mention is replays sent to this form will be used for more than just the Boom Burst.
Yes.
Because one thing that's changed between the Season 2 and Season 3 thing is the Boom Burst, half of the Boom Burst, which is the phase, the Turf Wars recaps, has gone under control of the TWNN, or the Turf Wars News Network.
Yes, who has put out their first thing a while ago. It was the
Watchog.
Yeah.
And from what I hear, because
like it,
it's weird to say the Boomverse is a part of the TWNN because we're both in charge of the TWNN.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're part of it, but they also aren't part of it. They're kind of their own little thing.
Yeah.
But they both borrow things from each other, so.
Yeah. Well, basically, in case people are wondering, TWNN isn't the projects that it sponsors.
TWNN is just, think of it like a blanket to everything.
Yeah, it's got a collection of resources that you can share. A lot of, with, you know, so you don't have to, like, ask for stuff. There's Rodeo-made team logos, like vectors of team logos and all this, so you can go and grab those, and you can just use them on your projects if they're TWNN-sponsored, which pretty much anything that wants to be Welby.
Mm-hmm, basically.
And also things like the replay submission form were before were only for the Boomburst and the recaps. Now will be for TWNN. So you'll see like some Watchog articles feature replays through the submission form. And there was an idea that was submitted where we just post a replay of the week on the subreddit and maybe a little description of it and let a discussion ensue or something like that. Something that's really low maintenance and easy to do, pick replay and whatever.
Because low maintenance is good maintenance.
Basically. Not hours of editing and formatting and all this and all of that. Because, yeah. But no, so submit replays, please. We're actually going to use them this season.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Right? Unlike last season, where there were only three submitted, but you gotta give them credit when they kept submitting replays, even though we never put out episodes.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's a thing.
So, yeah. Where were we?
Okay, so we're going into phase one.
Oh, yes.
Because, or turn one, because I have been saying that wrong the entire time.
Yeah, we're gonna try, and since season two, when an actual rule book was made, thank you, Base Devo.
Remember season one when there were no rules?
Oh, it was so horrible. But anyway, because the week-long thing that we battle in, it's a turn, not a phase. It used to be phases, but the thing is, it was awkward to say a phase was broken into three phases because there's the declaration gate phase, the planning phase, and the invasion phase. So we just made them turns. Turn one, turn two, turn three, and a turn is broken into three phases. Mm-hmm. That was really easy to keep up with. So we're trying to push using the proper terminology.
Which won't always happen.
No.
I mean,
I've been really used to it because when I've been moderating and administering testing, I've always used turn. Mm-hmm. Just so in the notes it correlates directly to the rules and it's easier to draw the parallels, but yeah.
That's... Yeah. So anyway, as for some land grab in phase one, we might as well get that out of the way first.
Turn one.
Turn one. Damn it.
Shall we turn this into a drinking game? Take a shot every time one of us messes up?
Yeah, I only have Dr. Pepper, though.
I thought I was the only one that could legally drink here anyway.
What's legal? Anyway, so as for land grabs that went unchallenged, Aqua got Slateport City, Olddale Town, Follower Town, Lily Cove City, Pyrite Town, and Snowbell City. And by the way, before we go any farther, I don't think we talked about location drafts either.
No, though there will be an article about that in the upcoming issue of the Watchog, which should be out by the time this episode's out. We're going to touch on them as we go through each team's actions because there aren't a lot of battles to talk about.
No. But, I mean, it's obviously just, like, land grab for Hoenn.
Yeah. But are we going to talk about all their moves and then starting locations?
I mean, we probably should talk about starting locations first.
Yeah, okay, so Aqua started in Mauvile, Fennec City, Santaloon City, and Fortree City. And in Fortree, y'all did a dump.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say, like, you guys could have, like, gone to Rustboro or maybe Evergrande. We don't even know if it's a port or not. It should be, but it wasn't on the last one. And, you know, we're settling this right now with the Battles Tracker.
Okay.
Because it should be marked on the Battles Tracker if it is or is not.
Because
you've heard it here first. Officially, Evergrande City is not a port.
So it could have been a starting location.
It could have been a starting location, and it would have been a great starting location because that gives you access to 4 ports
right
on the west side of Hoenn, in addition to the entire western section.
North on the Turf Wars map.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because tilting stuff.
Thank you, Rodeo. Yeah. And Rustboro would have given you all of southern Hoenn. Because the thing is, unless someone actually went out and drafted Evergrande City and noticed that it's not a port and didn't think that that was a typo, I just get the feeling most people thought it was a port. Because it would have been a really nice draft location. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, that's the only thing in Northern Hoenn that is draftable.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've got Mauville, you can just get Slateport and pincer anyone in the south off from North Hoenn. And if you've got Rustboro, no one can draft anywhere in Hoenn without being locked down by you.
Like, the whole thing with Evergrande is that it... I guess when the map was being drawn up, we were going off the league location
instead of
the entrance location, which probably should be, because like then you run into the thing of should it be the entrance and then it makes it a port, or should it be the league and then it's not a port, and it's confusing.
I thought about moving the star actually early on, and I mentioned it on multiple occasions. I can do that. It's an easy fix.
The problem is that it's on that square with Moss Deep.
Yeah, that's...
And that's where you run into problems.
That's the tile thing is, but... as
just call the powers of Groudon and just push that thing to the west, or the east, just a little bit, so it's off that tile, and then it's not a port, and then we're all good.
I can probably do that.
That'd be amazing.
So we'll fix that,
Maybe by the time that this episode's fixed.
Probably. I wonder if anyone will notice before then.
I don't know. Maybe.
We'll find out.
I think it's in a stupid place.
Curse you, Rodeo!
Like, you seriously just have to push it, like, a couple inches.
That's actually, though, the problem with that was...
Wait, Evergrande City is shaped like a dick.
What?
Yeah, a dick with a saggy ball. Eyebrow entertainment, everybody.
It hurts to laugh. Oh my gosh.
So, in not picking Evergrande City, Aqua, you done made a dick move.
I'd say Rustboro would have been better. Just because a lot of those northern locations, Rustboro just gave you much more coverage.
Yeah, but it's free. It's free push to Oblivia. Like, they could have done that with Gideon anyway. So
that would have been closer.
But it
doesn't make sense, but oh well. Aqua, y'all did it dumb again. And location draw. The main problem is Fortree doesn't give you any advantage over Mauville. Because in the Fortree, the only two locations that you can hit are Lily Cove and Mauville. They had Mauville. Mauville can hit Lily Cove and Fortree. Why? It saved them a token. That was it.
Yeah, like, honestly, Mauville is one of the strongest areas in
Hoenn.
Hoenn.
Just because you can get that, you can grab Slateport, and just... It's the Lumiose effect, where it is the center point and...
One of the strongest places.
It controls the region, because... With Mauville, someone can't draft in Rustboro and be able to get up into, like, Moss Deep or Sootopolis or whatever. Anyway, I think we're picking on Aqua too much, though.
You guys suck. Anyway, let's talk about ST, because as we were saying earlier, they could have gone for Gideon, and ST also could have gone for Gideon, but no one likes Gideon. Jerks.
No one went for Gideon Port.
Jerks. Anyway, so Solar Trinity got Lumio City, Silage City, Goldenrod City, Summerland, and Fall City, but their last pick, Cherry Grove City, they had to fight for it against
Snag'em.
I was going to say Snag'em, but I didn't want to be wrong.
It's against Snag'em, and they lost 5-1.
Yeah.
I can hear people blaming it on the types right now. There's nothing wrong with them. Moving on.
Anyway, Snag'em is the next one. Snag'em?
Okay, let's just move on to Snag'em.
Yeah, shut up, Dozer.
Okay.
So, yeah, they won their battles in Cherry Grove. They also...
Indigo Plateau. And in regular Snag'em doing the thing that we never expect fashion.
Wait, no, they also got Floraroma in Pastoria City.
Yeah, but that's what we expected. But in regular, like, Snag'em doing crazy things fashion, they just straight up threw two tokens down and attacked a location turn one. Like, not claimed a neutral location and had to battle because of an overlap. Just straight up, Dim Sun, this is your Viridian City. I want it now. Give it to me. Which is kind of reckless, but at the same time, does open, turned out to work in their favor because they won. Mm-hmm. Dim Sum, of course, took Pallet Town to keep losing Viridian for being too detrimental. So as far as Snag'em can get from there is hitting Pewter and Cerulean, which they'll probably have to fight Dim Sum for again. But overall,
yeah,
it just allowed them to break into Kanto and kept Dim Sum from getting a really strong hold in the Kanto area.
So moving on from that point to Dim Sun, because these are all rolling through really nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Dim Sun managed to get a couple nice things. Yeah, hold on. I need to actually look at something because...
I'm looking at the map.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I'm trying to plan how I'm saying stuff so that I don't sound stupid.
That's inevitable, though, Sai.
Shut up. So they got Pallet Town, Fuchsia City, and Saffron City. And Petalburg City. There it is.
And Petalburg.
Okay. And they tried to go for two spots in Unova, but they were challenged by Igneous for those spots. And those were Nimbasa and Undella.
And they pretty much traded blows. Igneous won Undella. It was either 2-4 or 5-1. And Dim Sun won Nimbasa 2-4. Undella was really good that Igneous won that, because otherwise they would have just been locked into Lentimos, which was their starting draft location.
Which also is not...
What the heck?
Yeah, it's...
I'm assuming, / hoping,
they meant Lacanosa.
But they said Lentimos, and by the time they realized they derped, it was too late, so they just rolled with it. I mean, it didn't really matter in the long run too much, I guess, because they won Undella, so...
Look, it could have been, like, the first testing, and someone picked Little Root, and then immediately got cornered in. Because they lost the battle for Old Dale.
And then a team was, because we were testing only one starting location, and a team was basically only allowed, given one territory.
A team was wiped on turn two.
We let them relocate.
Anyway, so moving on to Igneous, our last team.
Because there's only five this season.
Only five. Again, we already talked about Nimbasa and Undella. They also had obtained Castellia City, Peel Town, Blackthorn City, and Ecruteague City.
Now, one thing that I'm just going to comment on with Solar Trinity, I'm surprised that they didn't try to challenge Igneous for Ecruteague. Because now in Johto, Johto-Kanto is going to be like our hotspot region, at least early on, in the fact that it's going to be pretty colorful. Because since Solar Trinity didn't go to Ecruteak, that means Igneous is basically guaranteed Olivine and Sienna Wood, and they already have Blackthorn, Mahogany, and Ecruteak. Meaning, and because Snagum started a new bark and won Cherry Grove, Solar Trinity's trapped into Violet, Goldenrod, and Azalea. And then Snagum, of course, has Cherry Grove, New Bark, Indigo, and Viridian, and could potentially have Pewter and or Cerulean City. And then, of course, Dim Sun is basically guaranteed Celadon, Vermilion, and Cinnabar on top of the palette, Fuchsia, Saffron, and Lavender that they already own. So we'll see four teams with at least three with a similar amount of locations in the same area. And that's going to be really interesting.
Yep, that it will.
Because unlike Season 3, where Kalos was the giant cluster, here there's room for people to move around. So I'm really excited to see how this is going to turn out. Anything that you're looking forward to seeing this season based on how things are unfolding?
I don't know. I don't know. This season doesn't look like it'll be nearly as hectic as some other seasons, at least. But with the whole Kanto Johto thing right now, that's just going to... I feel like within like five turns or so, it's kind of going to flatten out, and we might have a few speckled places, but two teams will probably be holding most of it.
I could still see come turn six, there still being three or four teams there.
Maybe three or five. Even
three or four. I was going to say three or five, but...
The Aqua's not even in there.
No, but they could push in through a train station really easily. Because a rule change that did take place that I don't know if people are aware of is you can chain into the train station.
Yeah, we talked about that already.
Yeah, which means that if you're in the station, like, let's say Aqua, they have Pyrite Town. They go to the station this turn. They could chain in, they could go into Goldenrod or Saffron and then chain back into the station. And then next turn, and let's say they went to Goldenrod, one Goldenrod went back into the station, then they could go to, then they'd be able to go to Saffron and then do other shenanigans and just spam the train.
Yeah, which I don't know.
It's an aggressive and risky strategy, but...
It's aggressive and risky. I'm not a fan of it, but...
Oh, I think it's great just for entertainment value.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, we'll just have to see how everything plays out within these next few phases. Like, it's already obvious certain teams are going to try and hold down another region again.
Snagum, hi. How's it going?
Hi, Snagum.
Using the same strategy again? I see that. I see you taking over Sinnoh.
I mean, at least this time they aren't in Unova, though, because Unova's just stupid to try and get around.
It is throughout the entire history of Turf War has been one of the hardest regions to breach.
Yeah. Which is why there's two train stations
there now. But.
I say Season 5, we add all the stupid shortcuts in there and make it more open. A giant
cluster.
Add the giant chasm. So there's a three-way intersection. Add the whole route where you can go from Icarus to Castellia only going through Driftvale.
And then the Driftvale tunnel to get to Icarus.
Well, yeah, I already said that.
Yeah, and then the Castellia. Well, you said Icarus to Castellia. Oh, that's right. There's the Driftvale to Castellia route too, isn't there?
Yeah, that's the Relic Pass. No, it's not the Relic Pass. Yeah, it is the Relic Passage. It's the one next to the PWT.
I haven't played enough Gen 5, but...
Yeah.
I forgot that got to Castellia. Goes to the Castellia sewers, doesn't it?
Yeah, because everyone was complaining that you can't go from Castellia to Driftvale.
Wasn't that in Season 2?
Yes, it was.
Wasn't that closer to the end of the season?
No, it was like at the beginning of the
season. No, dude, I remember early Season 2, Unova.
Yeah, it was when you left.
Yeah.
It was around that time.
Yeah. Trust me, it was towards the end because that's when when Arcadia actually lost Castellia, because Arcadia started in Nimbasa, and we took Castellia right away, and no one challenged us for it. That was cool. And then the shenanigan that we pulled is we went to Driftvale, and then we went to Isaris through the Driftvale tunnel, and people were complaining that you can only, like, go, it's like a one-way route.
Yeah.
But we don't have one-way routes. And so we basically just bypassed Mistralton, and then we went Driftvale, Isaris, Opelucid, and people got mad, and I loved it.
Yeah, like, I'm, like, honestly, I think that should be done. I mean, that's what we do in Sinnoh, because, look, Snowbell doesn't connect to anything without going through Mount Coronet. And, like, we're putting an exception for them.
Well, it's Sinnoh. It's
anyway.
Either way.
Also, again, we need to get rid of the freaking thing above the Pokemon League in Sinnoh. That annoys me so much.
The route to nowhere?
Yes, I've tried to delete that multiple times, and it keeps making its way back in.
I could probably delete it.
God damn it, Rodeo.
Oh, get rid of it. I should be able to do that. I have the Illustrator file.
Anyway, map changing aside.
Season 5 discussion aside.
I've been trying. I was actually looking over to see if we went with the whole, like, underground cave forest routes, if that would actually change anything, like,
location wise.
Like, anywhere else. It wouldn't.
No,
there's
think
nowhere
it's,
else where it would affect.
Yeah,
it would only
affect. Sinnoh with Mount Coronet, which is already wide open, and then it was just Unova that had the fancy background passes and shortcuts that were really neat and interesting and enjoyable. Unless you want to count Soaring and Hoenn being able to go from anywhere to anywhere.
No.
Because technically you're in the map.
I thought you were going to say Soaring on a plane from Mistralton to Lentimas. That opens Lentimas up a lot.
It's a route you can take in-game.
And, I mean, you already have to use Lentimas to go through a cave to get to Undella. There's no straight route there.
Picky
assholes.
Hey, why don't we just throw the Intralink on as a location while we're at it?
Because you can't enter anywhere from the Intralink, and you can't enter the Intralink from anywhere. And it's on the map already. It's that little dot in the middle.
So are all of these paths that you're talking about. They're the little dots.
I know.
So shut up.
Yeah. Why don't we put it to a vote?
How about not? Because we're on getting into turn two of season 4. Why are we going to talk about something that we're not going to change until season 5?
Because it's just around the corner.
I really think this season might be longer than last season. Just because... See, testing was weird. Because there was one round where it went to time, which was 17 turns.
Mm-hmm. And then it was one on the 17th turn.
Yeah. And I totally didn't help anyone win that.
Cheater.
But,
yeah,
and
I mean...
there was... Then, though, it was like the second round of testing finished on turn 8. So it could be, but that was just because of Evo being Evo and having good RNG. Amazing.
What he does.
Strategize?
Yes.
And read Magic's mind.
And read the rules.
Poor Evo. He does not have money, so he does not get to screw the rules. He just writes them.
I mean, I'm pretty sure screwing the rules would probably hurt.
I mean, it depends. Are we really going to get into this?
Nope.
Okay.
Maybe we will next time.
Hold on.
What else are we going to talk about?
We didn't talk about any of the location battles, really. Like, who won in the scores or anything.
Yeah, we did.
Well, on some. Kind of. Okay. No, we kind of did. Is this going to really be this short?
Yeah.
It's How a 30-minute it? Episode.
That's awesome. That means that Dalek will be happy.
I don't like listening to podcasts that are like over 15 minutes. You mean like 95% of them.
Calling you out.
That's what we do here. Really? Is there nothing else to talk about?
There really isn't. I mean, unless you want to talk about, like, I don't know.
Cause has anyone posted turn two actions yet?
No, we would have done a sneak peek if someone would actually post their actions, but no one does because Panda posted it this time and everybody doesn't like Panda because he's actually a sooty polar bear.
He's just a dirty polar bear.
Just a dirty polar bear.
Though I do want to point out on turn one, the first team to post their actions in the ledger was Team Rocket.
Mm-hmm.
So even when the team is kill, they post first.
Yep, I almost removed that post though.
I kept it because it amused me.
Anyway, yeah, so that was a little recap. We'll talk about the next turn. Maybe people will actually post their stuff quickly because I'll probably be stuck doing it.
And maybe...
Maybe not. I have to do a bridal shower and a funeral in the same day.
That's weird.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Really? A bridal shower and a funeral?